In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is page 13. This is part 2 of Mediatrix, Luisa, and the Divine Will. Volume 33, 7/20/1934. And Jesus begins to teach Luisa in order for us to learn what he expected Luisa to live. And he's expecting us to live this. If we have the Book of Heaven, it's because of what God has given us. He says, it doesn't matter who gave you the Book of Heaven. I, the Lord God Almighty, from the beginning of time, knew that this book would be given to you. And the whole reason is to read this, to study this, to put this into practice. And that's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to read, study, put this into practice. How glorious our God is. Can you imagine if the apostles or the saints had this book, they would have reached the divine sanctity that Luisa possessed. But because they didn't have Luisa, they didn't have this book. This is not like any other book. This is a new beginning for mankind. Really, it's the gift of gifts. Jesus says, the prodigy of prodigies. So he says, it is only sin that makes one lose sanctity. Our whole life as Catholics has been severely affected for the last 50 years. I remember being in school, and every month the sisters would bring us over to confession, and there would be three priests and three confessionals. And they would hear all of the prayers, all of the confessions. And you know what's really funny? It's one priest was deaf, one priest was very gentle, and the other priest was, he's just a good guy, you know. And the deaf priest, he'd go, "What?" He'd go, "Bless me, Father." "What? Speak up, I can't hear you." He'd be yelling this in the church. And all the kids would run to another line. As the sisters, you know, turned their back, it was really hilarious to watch. And everybody wanted to go to the older priest who was so gentle, you know. And, it was, but we were disciplined. We were disciplined into understanding that grace, that grace that we received when we received this, when we went to confession. So he says, it is only sin that makes one lose this divine sanctity. And this sin puts the operating life of my divine will outside of the soul. Because if there is no sin, we, Triune God, carry this little soul in our womb. And we, Triune God, surround that soul with our divine sanctity. And therefore, this soul cannot do less than feel in herself the divine operating life of my holy divine will. So Jesus is showing us this. He's showing us that when we sin, we lose the divine sanctity. The operating life of the divine will is now not within the soul, but outside of the soul. He says, because if there is no sin, and then he said, then he goes further, we carry the soul in our womb. And we're doing a talk this summer on the womb, going back to the womb of the Father. I know that might sound like a contradiction, but it's going back to the womb of God. This is the soul is completely protected in the womb. It receives its food, its oxygen, its life, its warmth, a being in the womb. And that's what God wanted for us from the beginning. He wanted us to begin to live one with him, fused with him, never to be separated from God. And as a matter of fact, Jesus tells us, do not separate yourself from the womb of Luisa. This is why Luisa is our little mama. And I know some people go, oh, Luisa is my sister. No. If you haven't read, you would say, Luisa is my little sister. Because you would say, well, Mama Mary is my mom. And Luisa is the little daughter of Mama Mary, so she's our sister. Jesus is our brother. Well, that was for the saints. What God is doing with Luisa goes way, way beyond. And I remember I was with a group a few years ago, and I brought up Mama Luisa, and this one lady got very upset and said, we have a mama, Mama Mary. And then they said, where are you getting this? And I said, from the writings. The lady says, we've been in the writings for 15 years and we've never read this. And I went, wow. It's there's a whole section. I mean, go to divinewill.life. Listen to the what Jesus says about Luisa as our little mama. Luisa is the little mama of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Well, how can that be? We have Mary. Well, you have to understand. We have Mama, if you want to say Teresa. We have Mother Gabriel. We have Mother Angelica. It's a title. It's a title. It's taking nothing away from the Blessed Mother. But when we recognize Luisa as the little mama of the little children, then we begin to understand that what God is expecting of us, the spiritual DNA in us, is that of Luisa. Why Luisa? Because she's the firstborn of has the spiritual DNA of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. She's the one that possesses this. This is why Jesus came to earth and Mary came to earth, to redeem mankind, to get mankind back on track. Back on track with what? The universal life, the Catholic life. And a lot's going to happen against the Catholic Church. There's sin within the church and outside the church that wants to destroy the church. Our job is to be faithful and obedient to the end. That's our job. This universal life is what Adam lost. And if we're not faithful, if we're not obedient, we lose it. And that's what Jesus says here. Sin. Sin. People have said to me, when I go to confession, I don't know what to say. And it's like, it's like sifting dirt. If you go to confession and you don't have the major boulders, you know, mortal sins, then you have to go to the next sifting. And you may not have, like, you know, five mortal sins, but you might have 10, 20 smaller sins, okay, that you have to confess. And then once that's purified, then you got to go with the smaller boulders, another sifting of 100 or maybe 200 imperfections. Then you go beyond that to the smaller sins, 1,000 human inadequacies. It's to be... See, Jesus says, you must be perfected as my Heavenly Father is perfect. That's what God's waiting for. He says, you will do greater things than I. How can that happen? It's because of this great gift of the divine will. What God is waiting for, he saved the best for last. He is going to bring us into this new era of sanctification. This new era. That's why Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of Lucifer and his reign on earth. How do we know this? Lucifer was banished from heaven. And we're calling heaven to earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is what God is doing. We are that dust. And this is what the Our Father does as well. God breathed into the dust his image and likeness. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. That was Adam. And because of original sin, all that's gone. So what's God doing? He's asking us, would you begin to live a life that hasn't been seen since Adam, really? So the firstborn, the newborn, Luisa Picaretta, of original sin, Jesus is the Son of God. He possessed this. Mary is the Mother of God. Theotokos, she possessed this. She has she was born without original sin. But the firstborn of the divine will, of original sin is Luisa Picaretta. And that's why God has given us this book, to read this, to study this, to put this into practice. The more that we read this, the more that we study this, the more that we put this into practice, the sooner the kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. Now think about that. Where that dust, fill me, this dust, with your image and likeness. Breathe into me that Ruah of God, that breath of God that you breathed into Adam. We're the dust again. And Jesus is saying, I want to restore mankind to its original purity. Restore mankind to its original innocence. And that's why he says this. He says, see therefore, everything and everyone have a beginning. When we are born, when we are conceived, we have the beginning. And he says what? And are born together, he says, with my will. And we're going back to the womb of God. This is what's coming. Never to be separated from God. And that's why Jesus said to us, go to Mama Luisa and don't sever the umbilical cord from Luisa. All our nourishment comes through this book of heaven. She knows this. She lived it. She's the only one that knew this and lived it. And people say, well, there's St. Honorable de Francia who lived in the divine will. Well, he died living in the divine will. But he never read 20 through 36. He never received the divine inheritance of the Father that Luisa possessed. And then people say, well, they lived like Luisa. No, 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 no. You're not reading. That doesn't say that at all. It says, Luisa, you're the only one. And that's what it says here, as we'll continue. It's Luisa who possesses this. And Jesus is expecting us to read this. See, every page is filled with promises. To read this, to study this, to put this into practice. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. How glorious is this? How magnificent is this? Our God has saved the best for last. And this is what he's doing. Can you imagine the saints, if they had had this book, what they would have done? They would have fought over it. They would have. And we have this book placed in our hands. By Jesus himself, he says, it doesn't matter who gave you this book. I gave you this book, and I expect something from you. This book will change your life. This book will transform you into a living image and likeness of God. And again, when somebody says, well, I'm living in the divine will. Well, as soon as you worry, as soon as you're fearful, as soon as you're anxious, as soon as you're complaining, as soon as you're negative, as soon as you sin, you're not linked anymore. He says that very clearly. Sin makes one lose this divine sanctity of the divine will. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us to go back to confession. Learn to make this part of your Catholic life. Confession every week is a very powerful thing. Now, if you don't know what to confess because you haven't got those major boulders, go and listen to Luisa. It's the examination of conscience. I think you can find it in luisapicaretta.me, luisapicaretta.com. I think those have them. There's other sites that have them. Go to the examination of conscience of Luisa Picaretta through the 24 Hours of the Passion. You're going to be astonished what Jesus is asking. He's asking for perfection. I've heard people, well, this is my personality. This is who I am. What are you, nuts? Jesus says you're perfect. You from the beginning, he says you are together with my divine will from the beginning, and because of original sin, because of your human misery, because of your human inclinations, your passions, your weaknesses, you become something different. And the whole reason for confession is to be made perfect. Okay? But don't get discouraged. It's again, it's like carving a sculpture out of marble. There's a lot of chiseling to do, a lot of smashing and destroying that which is not of God. I mean, that's what penance is. That's what sacrifice is. That's what mortification is. The saints did that. The saints, have you ever read about those saints who sat on a pole for the rest of their life, depending on people to lift up to them with poles, sticks to feed them? They said, I will depend on you, God. And they lived there all their life on a pole, on top of a pole, in thunder and lightning, and you name it, hail and snow. Why were they doing this? They're trying to mortify themselves. They're trying to ask for forgiveness. Now, we have a great sign of God's love because of Divine Mercy Sunday. Not only if you do the novena, not only are your sins are forgiven on that weekend from Good Friday to the Sunday Louisa was born, St. Thomas Sunday. It's the Divine Mercy Sunday now. Your sins are forgiven. Even the temporal punishment due to sin is forgiven. That, as if you were a newly baptized child, baby, pure, holy, innocent. God is expecting a great deal from us. He's expecting us to begin to live this abundant life. He's expecting us to begin to reign. He's expecting us to begin to learn what he taught Louisa. Go to Louisa. Go to Louisa. Listen to Louisa. Watch what God's going to show you. He says this. This is what he says. he says, if there is no sin, we carry the soul in our womb. Total protection, total life, total warmth. Again, don't think in human terms. Think of what it means. Okay? We surround that soul with our sanctity. This is how we're supposed to live, surrounded by the sanctity of God. The saints had a halo, a nimbus around their head. You could saw this light, the circle of light around their head. That's not with the little children, the Holy Divine Will. It's to begin to live the sanctity of Jesus on Mount Tabor, the sanctity of Our Lady in Our Lady of Guadalupe, the woman clothed with the sun. This is why the book that came out from the Vatican, The Sun, S-U-N of My Divine Will, Louisa Picaretta. It doesn't say by Louisa Picaretta. Listen to what the Vatican is saying. It's all implied. The Sun of My Divine Will, S-U-N. Louisa Picaretta. Do you see what's coming? That's why St. Padre Pio said, Louisa is a second sun. As the sun goes down in the west, as it just begins to get dark, a new sun comes up. No more darkness. The devil's going to be gone. A new beginning for mankind. So he says this. He says, see therefore, let me just hit that. See therefore, everything, let me see. Everything and everyone has a beginning. Everyone and everything are born together with my most holy divine will. They are innocent. They are holy. They are worthy of God who created them. You see what God is doing? It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. It's to enter into this innocence that Adam had before the fall. It's to enter into the true life of Jesus, the Son of God, the true life of Mary, the Mother of God, Theotokos, holy and worthy of the Father who created them. Do you see what's coming? It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning for us. And how glorious is this that our God has offered this to us? How glorious is this that our God wants us to begin to live this abundant life? And he's saying, you're going to do it. If you are docile, if you are submissive, if you are truly seeking what God wants, as you read this, you become happy. As you read this, you become holy. As you read this, you begin to share in divinity. Now remember, we did not have volume 20 through volume 36, basically. The ones that were out were 1 through 19. And they had the imprimatur of St. Annibal de Francia. They had the nihili absta of St. Annibal de Francia, who then got Archbishop May to put the imprimatur on it, just accurately. And in 1996, these writings came out of the Vatican. In 2005, we finally had all 36 volumes, in English. So again, it's only been a few years. And what Jesus is expecting of those who have these writings to make this their everything, to focus on these writings, to read them, to study them, to put them into practice. How magnificent is this, that our God has chosen us? Again, we're nobody, we're nothing, but he has predestined us to live at this time. And the more that we focus on this, these writings, the more we begin to live this abundant life, you will become peaceful. You will become joyful. You will become happy. Why? This is the book of heaven. This is a new beginning for you. It's a new beginning for mankind. Again, peace, joy, and happiness. That's why Jesus says, those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative are anticipating hell. Why? You're living it. Those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy are anticipating heaven. Why? You're beginning to live it. You don't possess it fully. Again, Luis is the only one that possesses it fully. And again, I've heard people say that they're living in the divine will. Okay, that's good. But it's not what God is asking. He's saying you have to begin to live this by knowing every truth. So that means this book, Book of Heaven, the title was given by Jesus Christ, has to become your everything. I know there's a lot of books out there, saintly books, good books, holy books, but it's not to begin to live this abundant life. The only way to begin to live this abundant life is by reading, studying, and putting this into practice. Now, people say, well, St. Annibal de Francia lived in the divine will. Well, he died living in the divine will, but he never read 20 through 36. God is asking us to do this. God is asking us to begin to live this abundant life. And the more that we read, the more we, the way to understand if you're close to living in the divine will is, what do you know in volume 27 that you love? What can you quote right now? This set my heart on fire. What do you know in volume 12? What do you know in volume 30? What do you know in volume 7 that set your heart on fire? Oh, Jesus said this, and I love this. Jesus said that, and I love that. It's not, you know, when you're talking to people about the divine will, quote Louisa. Don't say, well, I think the divine will is this. We'll prove it. Well, Jesus said ... That's why we go over these things, these themes that are so important, like this one here, Louisa the Mediatrix. We're going to talk about that right now. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that Jesus has said this about? He says it very clearly. Everyone has a beginning and are born together with my divine will. They're innocent, they're holy, they're worthy of a God who created them. We have to get back to that. And he says, but who is the one? He's always talking about Louisa. Who conserves this innocence and holiness? Who is the one who has the innocence and the holiness of that God wanted from the beginning? It's the newborn, Louisa Picaretta. It's the firstborn, Louisa Picaretta. And so Jesus is looking at us and he says, do I see anything of Louisa in you? Do I see her love? Do I see her confidence? Do I see her trust? Do I see her craving for God? This is why we're reading this, and we want to echo what Louisa said. That's the whole reason for the echo book, all the prayers of Louisa. We want to echo what Louisa said to Jesus. This is so amazing what God is doing. So he says very clearly. But who is the one who conserves this innocence? Who has the only one who has this innocence, that has this holiness? Who is the soul born of original sin that has this? He says, the one, Louisa. Louisa, the one who was always at her place in my most holy divine will. Always as the newborn in my most holy divine will. Always as the firstborn in my most holy divine will. And then when you read the document on Adam and Louisa, you see very clearly, Louisa takes the place of Adam. What does that mean? Where Adam stopped, Louisa continues. And then she begins to live this abundant life in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Why? Because Jesus says, Louisa gives this gift back to the man. That's the Pope, the one with the keys to the kingdom. Why would Jesus give Peter the keys to the kingdom? Why would the church call Peter the Holy Father? Okay, why? You just look at it. It's very, very clear. Adam was a priest, and he lost it. Lost the priesthood. Jesus comes as the high priest. Adam was the father. Jesus, and lost it. Jesus comes as the father of the age to come. That's one of his titles. Jesus, Adam was the king of the earth. Jesus comes as Christ the king. Now it's the same thing. The father, the holy father, the priest, and the high priest, if you want to say, the pope, and finally, the king. He has the keys to the kingdom. He opens the door to the kingdom, a man, a human. And this is why the devil wants to destroy the Holy Father. See, that's what the Protestants did. They protested against the Blessed Mother. Blessed are you among women. They protested the Blessed Eucharist. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, the Holy Eucharist. And they protested Peter. Blessed are you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. We can't Protestantize the church. There's one holy Catholic and apostolic church. There's one church. There's not many denominations. And that's why, you know, a lot of people, you know, they love to follow the Protestants. You know, though they got great worship. No, they don't have worship. True worship includes priesthood and sacrifice. That's why there's only two worships. There's the Holy Catholic Church with the priesthood and the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and Satanism, the Satanist priests and the killing of children. Why do you think they want to kill all these children through abortion? What's the reason? And they convinced most people, half the people, that this is good. And then they say, you know, music is not worship. It's singing. It's praying twice, but it's not worship. You know, this. There are priests, there are bishops who don't want the church. There are lay people who don't want the church. And what we have to do is be faithful to. And that's why one of the things that John Paul II has done is given us the catechism. If you study the catechism, you understand the depth of the church. But since the Baltimore Catechism was thrown out in the 60s, what happened is there's no teaching. There's really no teaching of the children. And so what has God done to begin to understand what the Catholic Church is all about? He's given us the Book of Heaven. Why? You fall in love with the Blessed Mother. You fall in love with our Lord, and especially in the sacraments, the Holy Eucharist. You fall in love with the Holy Spirit, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. You fall in love with Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. You really become Catholic. The teaching comes back. As you study this, as you learn this, you don't fall into the traps that have been set in the church against Our Lady, against Our Lord, against the Pope. It's to begin to understand God is in charge. He's got this all planned. And He needs us. So He says, I'm going to show you how to begin to live this. Who is the one who conserves this innocence? Who is the one that conserves this holiness? It is Luisa, the one who is always at her place in my most holy divine will. Listen to what He says about her. Luisa alone is the triumphant one in the space of the universe. We're not talking about the Blessed Mother. She's Theotokos, Mother of God. It's Luisa, born of original sin, alone is the triumphant one. She is now beginning to live the life that Adam lost, the image to become and enter into the image and likeness of God. Think about this. Luisa alone is the triumphant one. He's not talking about me. He's not talking about anybody else. He's talking about Luisa. She is the triumphant one. She is the true daughter of Jesus. She's a true daughter of Mary. And again, don't think biological. Spiritual. The spiritual aspect that Jesus possessed is now found in this newborn. This is why when she was buried, it was her on her tombstone, the little daughter of the divine will. She says, she alone is the triumphant one in space of the entire universe. Luisa is the standard bearer. Now think about that. You get a glimpse of Joan of Arc riding on her horse as the standard bearer. What did she have in her hand? What was the flag? It was of Jesus and Mary. See, everything leads up to this little newborn, Luisa Picaretta. That's why we have to have the faith of Joan of Arc, Saint Joan of Arc. We have to have that faith. Who killed Joan of Arc? The bishops. The Bishop of England killed her. And then when her heart wasn't burnt and they brought her unburnt heart before the bishop, he says, burn it again. And when they brought her unburnt heart, he says, throw it in the river. Throw it in the Seine. We have to have the faith of the saints. I mean, that's why volume 1 through volume 10, you must become a saint. You must become a divine mirror of Jesus. What's coming is we're going to be attacked by those in the church who are not part of the church. And it's a mimic. Now, remember, the flames of hell mimic the light of heaven. You know, there's so many things that are out there, the eye of God, the Masons use. But it was very much part of the Catholic Church. Don't let anybody fool you that what the church is doing is wrong. The Maltese cross, the Illuminati use that as well. It's from the church. The flames of hell mimic the light of heaven. So he says this. Who is the one? Luisa. Always in her place. She is the triumphant one in the space of the universe. The entire universe. Think of this. The entire universe. She is the one. Can God make it any clearer? And you say you live in the divine will? This is hers. God wants us to have it. But look what she did to receive it. She stayed in bed for 64 years. Archbishop Piccieri said 70 years. She did not eat, drink, or sleep for 70 years. She was crucified by Jesus every day. And we say we live in the divine will. I remember when they were looking at Our Lady of America, the bishops said, if this is true, of Our Lady of America, if Sister Mildred, Sister Mary Ephraim, is true, Where is the suffering? You look at the lives of the saints. They suffered horribly. Oh, I went through this and I went through it. No, no, no. They went through horrible sufferings. And you look at them. Let's look at the venerable servant of God, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. When he was in our diocese, and after less than 3 years, left the diocese, and that's all because of political things that were going on at the time. What happened? He says it was the worst suffering I've ever gone through. But then, to see his humility, he said, but it's not as much punishment as I should receive. He didn't do anything wrong. He just knew his sinfulness. It's not as much punishment that I should have received. Do you see what God is doing? Those that suffer have great humility. You never hear about it. You might get a complaint or two. But what God is looking for, he's looking for us to begin to embrace this life that Louisa possessed. And what is that life that Louisa possessed? It's the sanctity and operating life of God. It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. She is not God. She doesn't become God, but she's like God, image and likeness. The one who is always at her place in my divine will. Louisa alone is the triumphant one in the space of the universe. Louisa alone is the standard bearer. Here we see Joan of Arc. Louisa alone gathers the whole army of creation, and we're part of that, in order to bring them to God. The whole army of creation. That's every animal, vegetable, mineral, every human. And with a speaking voice, see, you have to understand, this is what Our Lady. Our Lady, when Our Lady speaks, her voice is so beautiful. Why? She gave this voice that Jesus speaks, the word of God that Jesus speaks. Jesus speaks, and we hear God. And this is why, as you read, Jesus said, I will touch your mind and I'll touch your heart so that you can understand this and believe this. God wants us to enter into this abundant life. He is going to speak to us. He will touch our mind to understand this language of heaven. He will touch our heart to fall in love with this language of heaven. What does Louisa bring? She brings the Holy Spirit. And one man who had a vision of Our Lady, he asked Our Lady, he was a Jewish man who became Catholic. He asked Our Lady his question. Our Lady said, do you have any questions? Knowing he had a question. Are you willing to speak it? It's like prayer. Oh, I don't have to pray. God knows it. No, you have to pray. You have to speak it. This is what God is waiting for. This is why the Echo Book is so important. This is why the rounds are so important. Jesus told Louisa from volume 16 to volume 36, I want you to pray the way I prayed. I want you to pray the way my mother prayed. This is the rounds. Adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God, worshiping God. He wants that on earth again. And that's what the rounds are all about. So what happens is Louisa, this Jewish man who had a vision of Our Lady, he says, yes, I do have a question. How do you see, what's the Holy Spirit like? He said. And Our Lady looked to heaven, raised her arms, and said, the Holy Spirit is the gaze of God. That's what Louisa brings to us. It's the gaze of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And now, Scripture says, no man can see God and live. Well, with the divine will, it's going to happen. We are going to enter into this gaze of God, to look at God, to see God. And if you're not praying for that, you know, pray for it every day. See, just you have to be pure of heart to see God. And one of the most wonderful things that's going to happen is to see God and live. And it says, when we see Him, we will become like Him. Pray for that. It's very, very important. So he says, she's the standard bearer, and she gathers together the whole army of creation in order what? To bring them back to God. This is not saintly or good or holy, done on a human sanctity. This is a divine sanctity that our God wants us to begin to live. With a speaking voice, listen to this, with full knowledge. See, the speaking voice is Jesus and Mary. With full knowledge, you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see the honor of God. You're going to become the tribute of everything and everyone. That's why, you see, the church already teaches us this. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and the little children, the Holy Divine Will, their responsibility is to be in the presence of God. Okay? This is why if you don't have Eucharistic adoration, John Paul II said in the 80s, I want every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. How many obeyed? Can you imagine what it would be like if every parish obeyed? It's like Humanae Vitae in 1969. If they obeyed, can you imagine what would be happening? Well, Humanae Vitae was about divine, the human life. What is human life? This is what human life is. And the church says, here it is. Practice this. And the people of the church said, no, we're not going to obey. We're going to do what we want. If we had obeyed Humanae Vitae in 1969, what is that, 50 years ago? If we had obeyed, we would now be living divine life, which is the divine will. It was to prepare us. And we said no. The church said no. Individuals in the church said no. It's the same thing here. If we begin to understand that when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we represent all mankind. Even if you're alone in the church and you're adoring God and loving God and praising God, when you pray, it's, Lord, listen to my prayer in the name of all my brothers and sisters, past, present, and future. God hears everyone who has ever lived and now ever been conceived. Because again, Father Bucci told us that Jesus told Louisa that his aunt Rosaria was to, as Louisa helped the children be baptized in the first day of volume 36, her job was to help all the preborn children. And that's what we pray. All the miscarriages, all the children who have been aborted, all the children that have been sacrificed. We pray for them. That's her job. So what's happening is it's a new beginning for mankind. The evil one has to go. When Our Lady said that to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's the end of the evil one. The kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven. The devil has been banished from heaven. He'll be banished from earth. We're going to live, as Our Lady said, Our Lady of Revelation said, we're going to begin to live the life that God originally planned. Image and likeness of God. It's going to be heaven on earth. She said, my children are going to enter into eternity, the beatific vision. The devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space. So the Lord is looking at us. The Lord wants us to begin to live this abundant life. He loves us very much. You have the book of heaven. Jesus said, I gave that to you. Jesus himself gave that to you. You have the book of heaven. Read it, study it, put it into practice. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for the little children of the Holy Divine Will to begin to live this abundant life. How much our God loves us. He wants us to read, study, and put into practice these truths. Read, study, and put it into practice. Luis is the standard bearer. Luisa gathers together the whole army of creation in order to bring them back to God. Luisa with a speaking voice. Luisa with full knowledge. Luisa showing us the glory of God, the honor of God, the tribute of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. It's a whole new beginning. Begin to live this little by little. Begin to embrace this as much as you can. Make this your everything. Because this is what's going to get us through what's coming. The how and the why the kingdom's coming. That's the book of heaven. So focus on this and God bless you. We'll end with a prayer. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us in the name of the Father. And of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.